Good morning. Welcome to the Santa Ponsa Community Church. Yay, that's right. It's great going to church. Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. We are going to continue with a series we started a couple weeks ago when we, at Pentecost, we started a series on the Holy Spirit, and I believe we're going to do this week and next week still, and put on your seatbelts. This morning is going to be I hope comforting, but it's definitely going to be challenging. It's not going to be easy. And I hope that if it hits you, it will not be because of the, if it hits you wrongly, that it will not be because of the way I say it. But I do hope that if it hits you wrongly and it's because of what God says, that you will have the humility to say, Lord, let your will be done, not mine. We talked the last few weeks about there's only one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and that is, and He is indivisible. We talked about the fact that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, that there are, whether we like it or not, there are demonic powers at war in the world. Jesus cast out demons called legion out of a man. Jesus talked about unclean spirits. And the biblical teaching is that there's a great kingdom of evil headed by the devil. We looked at the fact that the Holy Spirit is a person and that His main work in our life is to convict us of our attitude towards Jesus, convict us of our sin, making us born again, making us a part of His body. This is all things that we looked at. And then we looked at Stephen, a man chosen by the church, a man full of faith and full of the Spirit of God. And we looked at the fact that when a man is full of the Spirit, a man or a woman, that all his faculties are controlled by the Spirit of God. Not by the spirit of the world, not by the devil, by the Spirit of God. That means his mind. That means his will. That means even his emotions. And that's what we did last week that I taught. And we looked at the incommunicable attributes of God and the communicable attributes of God. And we saw that Stephen was strengthened by the incommunicable attributes of God. He says the God of glory appeared to Abraham. But then we see that he was also was able to be straightforward with those that were against Jesus. He says, you always resist the Holy Spirit. And yet, as straightforward as he was, you always resist the Holy Spirit. He was also able to be loving. They saw his face that shone like an angel. And as they were stoning him and doing against him, he was saying, forgive, do not hold this sin against them. So we saw that the last couple weeks. But this week, we're going to look, at do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And next week, we're going to look at do not quench the Holy Spirit of God. If you open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, it says, verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. It says, be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. That means resolve it. Nor give peace to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Father, I pray that you would take this morning and that you would speak to our hearts, but not just that we may hear you, but that we might have ears to hear and ask you, Lord, not only to let us understand, but, Lord, that you would transform us. Have your way with us. Cause us to grow. In Jesus' name, amen. So it says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And there's a sandwich, you see, there's a sandwich that do not grieve is in the middle. And the argument, the discussion around the text is, does it refer to the things before or does it refer to the things after? But it is obvious here that there is a certain change that has come into the believers, but they are continuing in their minds according to their old way of life. And here the Holy Spirit, through Paul, says to the Ephesians, no longer, you are to be different. And he gives examples of different things. Let bitterness, wrath, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is helpful to build people up. Be angry. Yes, be angry, but don't sin. Don't give place to the devil. Speak the truth. Do not lie. And if you're stealing, quit stealing. And get a job. Earn and give. Be generous. You see, the transformation is from one way to another way. This week, I had a terrible experience. Bob Elridge asked me to go for a walk with him in Sawyer, and I was just like, okay. And I knew it was going to be hard, and I said to Loretta, I don't want to go. And Loretta said, come on, go. I think it'll be good for you. So there I went with this 77-year-old man to walk the mountains of Sawyer. He wanted to go to Cooper, to the reservoirs there, which are need of water, so pray for water. And then he wanted to go to where the water flows into Palma from there, which is going through five to seven tunnels. We walked down for 45 minutes the steep hill, only to find ourselves with a do not enter sign at the tunnel. And I thought, no. And it said, danger of rocks falling. And I look at him and say, come on, let's just go through. Maybe it's just this tunnel. And we went through. Then we got to the next one. It was too much for Bob. And Bob goes, no, we got to go back. And I'm like, no. It was so hard. It was so hard. Not only because we had made it there, now we had to go back, but whenever you go downhill, you know you got to go back uphill. And it was a discouraging moment in my life in that moment, because honestly, it was hard. Walking with this guy is not easy. And then we turn around and he goes, okay, let's sit down. I need something. Okay. And he's like, I'm sorry. And I'm like, okay, I'm just kind of grumbling in my heart. And then he goes, oh, it's okay. When we get to the top, we'll just climb the highest point around here. It'll only take 2 hours there and 2 hours back. I'm like, no, we are not doing that. But you know, in all these disappointments, there's always a story, isn't it? There's always a lesson. He says, I'm sure there's many lessons. I don't care about today's lesson. But there was a lesson. The lesson is sometimes you're heading in one direction and you get a notice direction and you have to head in a different direction and you make a 180 turn. And you need humility. You need trust. And what Paul is saying to these Christians is, before you were believers, you walked in a certain direction. But when you met Christ, you realized life was not how you thought. It is a different life. It is a life when we're filled of the Spirit, when we are filled and controlled by the Spirit of God, and it is different than it was before. And thus, we must be humble and willing to turn around. There's no such thing as a Christianity that we add Jesus to our life and we just continue living like we always lived. I think the Lord has given us a word for our life in this church the last few weeks. God loves you right where you are at today. Even where you were at yesterday, even where you were at a year ago, but he loves you too much to leave you there. If we are not growing, we're not going anywhere. And Paul says several times, no longer. And here, though, because we almost can make it into a thing of behavior, here we have the differentia of Christian ethics. What makes Christianity different than any other religion? Than any even non-religion way of life? What makes it different than anything else we've ever experienced on earth? Good conduct is not necessarily Christian conduct. Only Christianity has do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And he comes, he, not it, not a force, not a good energy. Forget good energies. You want God or nothing. Not good energy. You have God. He comes in the person of the Holy Spirit, and he's coming to transform. He's coming in love. He loves us. But he loves us right where we're at, and he loves us enough to give Jesus for us, but he loves us too much to just leave it forgiven and not transformed. So what happens is a process of sanctification of the heart, of our lives begins to happen. And listen, his appeal to the Christian is not on a legal level. He's not saying, walk this way because that is the good way to walk. He doesn't say, walk this way because it's the right way to walk. He says, walk this way because that's how God wants you to walk, the God who loves you and cares for you. And all of us that are fathers know what it is like. Jonathan, today driving here, he's telling me, a girl, as we walked out of our apartment, out of our house, this lady was smoking. She stopped to talk, started telling me how her dad got cancer and her husband broke his wrist. So we just were engaging in conversation. And then he's like, what was she smoking? I said, I don't know. What was she smoking? I think it was just a cigarette, but it was out, and then she lit it, and so I don't know. He's like, was she smoking cocaine? I'm like, I don't know. She's like, those people smoke cocaine. I said, yeah, but that's pretty rare, isn't it? And he goes, not in my school. In my school, they smoke cocaine, they do cocaine, they do ecstasy, they drink in school. I'm just like, what? On Monday, you're not going. But you know, it's just one of those things that you're just, but you know, you but what do I want? What do I want for my son? I love my son, and I don't want good behavior from my son so he would be better than other people. I want good behavior for my son because I love him and because we have a relationship. And so Arden, who is addicted to screens and we're struggling on what to do, I told him, Arden, you cannot watch YouTube. He's like, Daddy, I'll watch Lego, I promise. I said, yeah, but you're not going to watch the other stuff. Okay. So he watches Lego, and he's so clever. As soon as I get distracted, I walked over, and he closes the screen. And he's lying to me, and he's hiding. And I'm grieved. Because my little Arden, my little Jonathan, I love him. I want the best for him. And he's just lying to me. And the differentiation of the Christian ethics is not we do it so we're better than others. It's not even we do it because it's good for us. We do it because we have a relationship with our Heavenly Father and through the Spirit of God. And we want to make it the aim of our life to please Him. He's been so good to us. And so the aim of my life is no longer just to keep the law. The aim of my life is because I've been forgiven, all I want to do is please Him. He sanctifies. He changes. So the doctrine of this verse is that wrong living in any sense or in any shape or form grieves the Holy Spirit of God, in whom believers are sealed until the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. The Spirit Himself is the seal. And so, whenever I am involved in something I shouldn't be involved in, well, I'm going to get to this in a minute. Hold on. But no man can be a Christian. And I say this, I realize that we have people that are not Christian here. And I want you to know, and I want to make sure that also some that might think they're Christian, let me say this, no man can be a Christian without the Holy Spirit of God. A Christianity without the Holy Spirit of God creates the Crusades, the Inquisition. No man can be a Christian without the Holy Spirit of God. Romans 8:9 says this very clearly. If a man has not the Spirit, he is not his. And Paul, in writing the Corinthian church, the rebuke that he wrote to the Corinthian church, not because he hated them, not because he was self-righteous, but because he loved them, he corrected them about their sexual immorality, and he says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have from God, and you are not your own? He doesn't say to them, hey, just stop doing that because it's wrong. He says, don't you realize that you are the very temple of God? The Holy Spirit of God, He lives in you. That's the argument that Paul puts forward. He doesn't say, do it because that way you'll be better than others. He doesn't do it so you can be more self-righteous than others. He doesn't even do it because he says, it'll be good for you to have a healthy sex life because that way you'll keep away from diseases if you only have monogamous relationship. No. He says, you are that very temple of God. It's a different argument altogether. And here we have how Paul applies it. How does he apply it? Well, first of all, the Holy Spirit can be grieved. This is crazy. When we speak of the Holy Spirit, we think about the Holy Spirit that hovered over the earth when it was formless. We think of the third person of the Trinity. He is, listen guys, he is impassible. Let me ask you this. What effect do you think you would have on the sun's existence if you ran into it? Probably not even that. The thought that we think that we can affect God is kind of crazy. God is impassible, which means that God is not only not dependent upon us or upon the world or upon all the things that happen in it, but in an ultimate sense is not affected by them at all. And yet, I mean, we are always affected by stuff that's going around us. We are like a roller coaster. This happens and we're angry. This happens and we're happy. And this, we're just kind of constant slave of what happens outside of us. But God is impassible. Yet, how can he say, grieve not the Holy Spirit? And Martin Lloyd-Jones says this, because of the way of salvation and redemption as a very part of these mercies, God, as it were, has stooped to our level. We see it in the incarnation of the Son. He took up human nature. Therefore, he knows our ignorance and our weakness and our frailty. He knew by experience what it was to hunger and to thirst and to be tired. He brought himself within that possibility. We are told the same about the Holy Spirit, that for the purpose of redemption and for salvation, because he has come to reside and dwell in us, it is possible for us to grieve him. This is temporary, but true. In salvation, he has put himself into a relationship to us in which it is possible for us to hurt him, to grieve him, to disappoint him. Now, I say this, it might seem insignificant, but Dawkins goes around saying, what effect does my life have upon an all? What possible effect could my little tiny life on earth have on an immense creator of the universe if there was one? That's ridiculous. But these two things are reconcilable. But notice it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Our relationship with the Holy Spirit is one of love. Not law, but grace. It's not legal terms. It's not legal. That means that when we do wrong, when we sin, and this is where it gets tough, huh? It's crazy because as Christians, out of all people, we should have it the easiest to say, I've sinned. Out of all people, because we say we have sinned and that Jesus died for our sins. But sometimes it seems like Jesus didn't die for anything because we never want to confess anything. But listen to this. When a Christian sins, what he should be the most conscious of is not so much that he has done wrong or even that he has broken God's law. What should really trouble him is this, that he has offended against love. It's not, oh, I broke God's law. When we read what happened in the Garden of in the Garden of Eden, what you see is not only that God's law was broken, but God's heart was broken. And there's a big difference in our life when we realize that it's not God's law and God's wrath that is against us, but there is a real sense as believers where we grieve Him when we yield ourselves to the flesh and not to the Spirit of God. I have noticed with Loretta and I, Loretta has had much more power in my life, meaning in a good sense, I don't mean in a negative sense, when I did wrong and she grieved over it, than when I did wrong and she fought back. Rights. It's my right. It's your right. It's my right. It's your right. I remember here once, there was a lady, Elizabeth, and she went to the, she brought her baby in. Gotta be careful with this, but she brought her baby in, or she was coming in, and somebody said to her, "You can't bring your baby in. That's why we have the moms and tots." And she was just grieved. And she's like, "I'm alone all the time. I just want to be with somebody." And we're like, "How can we help you? How can we help you?" You know, where sometimes you have people that just react in anger. And we're like, "Okay, bye-bye." You know, the grief. And that's the kind of relationship we have with our Father. As children of God, we have the ability to please Him or to grieve Him. And we have to grow up, no? I mean, I think as we grow up as believers, we realize, my goodness, I make it my aim. All I want to do is to please You, God. And He is a person. You can't grieve. That's why I said energy. You can grieve energy. You can grieve electricity. You can grieve. You can only grieve a person. And the reality is, and look, I don't want to condemn anybody here. The reality is that Jesus died for all of our sins. But listen, we can disappoint Him. As Christians, He dwells in us. Whenever we are His. And there is a tenderness about Him. Remember when He came upon Jesus as He was being baptized, He came down as a dove. Have you guys ever lost your temper with your kids? No, huh? I haven't either. But Arden, "Dad, you're shouting at me." With Loretta, I mean, we're pretty good to make up on the day. But I think I can remember one or two days. I can't remember for one or two where it's gone overnight to 2 days. And you just sense the grief in the house. It is because we are family of God. Only family members grieve, and only Christians grieve the Holy Spirit of God. So how? The question is, how can we grieve the Holy Spirit of God? Anything that is not holy is grieving to Him. Now, in this church, I think you've noticed, we are pretty free with everybody, huh? You would find scarce times where I confront something. Scarce. when I finally confront something, it's because it's gone too far. But you would find it very scarce times where I actually confront something. And the reason I'll tell you why. I'm slow to do it in people's lives. When I was going to London, I said to Brian, I said, I'm coming to serve with you. And I said, if I do anything wrong, you tell me. And I change. Now imagine if I would have ended up in the wrong hands. A cult leader, for example. You see me do anything wrong, you tell me and I change. The control that could have come over me. Brian's words revolutionized my life. He said, the Holy Spirit knows how to speak to you. And if you do something really bad, I'll let you know. But the reason we give space is because we want people to grow, not dependent on us telling people what is right and wrong. We want people to grow in step with what the Holy Spirit is doing in their lives. When I married Loretta, she smoked 2 packs a day. I hated it because I had smoked, you know. But anyway, it was her prerogative. She smoked 2 packs a day. And she became a Christian. Well, when we were married, she was already a Christian. And she was smoking those 2 packs a day. But I would come home from work, and she had been reading Judges, and she would be like, oh my goodness, the grace of God. She would be reading Leviticus. She had been a communist. So she saw how the priests, they were supposed to get from the people their nourishment. They were not allowed to own land. And she saw this incredible mechanism to protect against corruption. And so she was seeing all these things in the Bible. Can you imagine if I would have gone up to Loretta, I was like, Loretta, I don't like you smoking. When God was showing her such greater things? Do you see what I mean? What we want to do is we want to step and be in step with what the Holy Spirit is doing in our life. But as we walk with Him, we begin to get a check. As we read the Bible, we begin to see certain things. And then all of a sudden, He speaks to us and we're walking with Him, not with people. That's why we give space. So that people would grow in tune with the Holy Spirit. But let me say this, our actions, Galatians 5:19 says, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. There are things that grieve the Spirit of God. Actions. Let me pick one out of these that has been really on my heart lately. There's a lot of people here with that have been coming through the church. They're not all here today, but there's been coming through the church where they come from a New Age background, heavy New Age background. And it's almost like we can do Jesus and all these other things. And I can tell you this. When the Bible says you shall have no other gods beside me. That when we go to these things, we need to realize the Spirit of God is grieved. When we become Christians, it's not that all of a sudden we leave the Holy Spirit out and we go do something else. It's that we take the Holy Spirit with us wherever we go. Listen, computer screens, conversations, converse with people, knowing that the Holy Spirit is right there with you. But it's not just our actions, our words. Remember, not only in deeds and practices, we can grieve them with our words. Notice what it says. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. We have a plague in my house. Loretta loves to buy fruit, but we just don't seem to like to eat it. So she goes to Lidl and she or Aldi and she buys all this fruit and she puts it in the bowl. And I cannot tell you how many times I see little flies flying around and I'm thinking, what's going on here? And it always takes me a while to realize it. But at the bottom of the bowl, we have soup. And it's pretty gross. But once one of these mosquitoes bites one of them, and it begins to putrefy and it's rotten, it begins to rotten everything around it. And it says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth except that which is good for building people up. Our words. Oh, if I could take back words. At home, outside of the home, in the car driving. Where's Petrina? She cut me off this week. Little sweet Petrina, where is she? She's not here, is she? Oh my goodness, we were on the roundabout with the windmill and I'm saying, I'm going to take John Arden to school and I'm just going around and I'm going to make sure no one gets in front of me. Woo! Well, she did. Had to put on the brakes. And then I realized there's Petrina. But the words that come out of our mouth, do they build people up? But listen, it's not just our actions, it's not just our words, but what about your thoughts? You can grieve them by your thoughts. Psalm 139, verse 2 says, you know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. Have you ever been thinking and you're just imagining things? And you're just entertaining things? And all of a sudden you go, oh my goodness, what am I thinking? You know, there's some people in churches like, well, I've never done this or I've never done that. And they're just kind of like really puffed up against other people. It's like, no, you didn't do it. But maybe you didn't do it because you're too much of a coward to do it. Other people are more bold. They don't care what anybody else would think. You think too much about what other people would think, but you entertain it in your heart. That grieves. My sin, let me tell you, my sin... I want you guys to hear this. There is no good thing inside of my flesh. The only good thing that dwells in me is Christ in me. He is changing me. You guys know the story about the check. I get a check from Brenda with a card. I open the check, the card. I see 2,000 pounds. My first thought was, call Loretta. Loretta, we got 2,000 pounds. And she said, if you would open the card, you would realize that it is not for us. It's for church. And my thought after that was, who is going to know? So I called Andrew and I said, Andrew, I got it. Our inclination is not towards good. We have constantly our flesh that drags us down, and we have the Spirit of God that are at war with one another. And the Spirit, He prompts us and He moves us. But the battle's in my mind, the battle's in my heart, and the battle is with the Holy Spirit warring in me. And it is there. Jesus living in me, the Spirit living in me, it is there. It is in my thought life and in my heart that I have to create a home for Him. You ever go to somebody's house and you just don't feel comfortable? Or maybe there's an argument and then you can cut the air. And then you go to other places and they have a gift of hospitality and you just can... lay down. Hey, can I have a cup of water? I'll have a sandwich. Loretta hates it when I do that. Can you make me a sandwich? What? Don't don't do that. But some people you just feel at home with. That's how it should be with us and him. But we grieve him in another way, which is related to what I was just saying, in our failure to realize his presence. Is there anything more insulting than when a person ignores that you are there? Have you ever been somewhere and you talk to somebody, it's like they ignore you as if you did not exist? Is there anything more insulting than that? There was an alcoholic that had stopped drinking. And this particular coach went up to him and said, "Hey, are you telling me that Jesus delivered you from drink? And are you telling me that if you were by yourself in your apartment and you had a hidden bottle of vodka in the closet somewhere, you're alone, that you wouldn't go and get that bottle and drink?" And the guy said, "Well, I don't know. If I was alone, maybe. But the one thing I've realized since I've become a Christian is that I am never alone." Realizing his presence. Imagine, have you ever had an argument with somebody, but that somebody else is in the room and the tone changes? Marisol laughing. But think about it. I remember we got in a big argument in London once. It was actually about the smoking, because Loretta wanted me to go for a walk with her so she could smoke a cigarette. This was 23 years ago. And I said, "I'm not going with you. I mean, you can smoke all you want, but I'm not going to freeze with it, you know?" And then so there we are arguing. I was like, "Loretta, you know, I'm not scared of arguing in front of anybody." And she was taken back. If we can argue at home, we can argue in front of people, because the most important person is with us all the time. It's heavy, huh? But another way, and this is the final way, I'll spare you, I think, is in which we grieve the Holy Spirit lies in our failure to respond to his promptings and his leadings and his influences. He works in us to will and to do. You will be stagnated as a believer if you stop responding to his promptings, and he will be grieved. Again, the flesh, lust against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And think about it. I'm not putting to you a formula. I'm putting to you real dealings of God with us. He creates within us desires to read the word, desires to pray, desires to think about him, desires to leave something and do something else, he creates in us humility, honesty, cooperation, flexibility. The Spirit's work of sanctification in us. He prompts us. He is the guest of honor in our hearts. And finally, we grieve him when we don't realize the ultimate purpose that he has for us. What is the final purpose of your salvation? What do you want from God? You want life to go easy? You want to feel good about yourself? You want to get rid of this sin or that sin? Is it just not to feel guilty? Because if that's the case, then we are falling short of what God has for us. And he really, and we grieve him not realizing that his plans for us are far beyond anything you could ask or imagine. What is the purpose of salvation? He will remove every bit of evil from the universe. And we shall be in that universe with new bodies, without sin, without spot, without wrinkle, without any of those things. A man, therefore, who grieves the Spirit does not understand that the whole object and purpose of redemption. Why did Jesus die on the cross? Was it simply that you will not be judged? That's it? Think about it with Jonathan. We adopted Jonathan when he was 3 years old. Imagine this, if I adopted Jonathan, we adopted Jonathan, and he came to our house. It's like, you're forgiven. Now stay in your room. That's how some people think of Christianity. Just forgiven in the room. No, I adopted Jonathan because the day I heard, we have a son for you. His name is Jonathan, which means gift of God. And the day I met him and he came with a plane, and that very day, he's like, I want to go with him. He wanted to come home with me that very day, the day we met. And we had to tell him, no, you can't yet. There's a bit of a process on how to do this. And you know what? It hasn't been easy. But I love that kid. And I want the best for him. And Jonathan and Arden are my children. And I love, we've taken them to Virginia Beach to do parachuting there. Not real parachuting, but one of these tunnels where you just go. And I was watching the video yesterday, and we've taken them with Dieter and Marisol, and we've taken them to Israel. And remember Arden just laughing as he got on that camel. But I didn't adopt Jonathan so he would stay in a room forgiven. I adopted Jonathan to do life with him. To grow together, to provide for him, to care for him, to help him live the most life, the best life in the world. Because of my U.S. citizenship, I was able to give him citizenship to open even more doors for him. That's why I adopted Jonathan, because I love him and I want to be his father and I want a relationship with him. Not just so he's forgiven in a room. And sometimes we grieve the Holy Spirit of God when we don't realize that he doesn't just want us to give us an easy life on earth. He wants to give us an eternal life wherever we are. And so we make it our aim to please him. We make it our aim to please him. Look at Psalm 32. Yeah, I'm closing, huh? Look at Psalm 32. Did I say that a bunch of times? Okay, good. Yes? It's okay. Psalm 32. Look what it says here. Verse 3. It's going to be on the screen. When I kept silent, my bones grew old. through my groaning all day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. But I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Notice what David says. Remember, he went with Bathsheba. He planned a scheme to kill, cover it up. Then he planned another scheme in order to kill the husband so he wouldn't find out that the baby was there. And then the whole time inside, look what it says. It says, when I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all day long. He was grieving God. He says, but I acknowledge my sin. Nathan came and he says, you've sinned. It's you. You're the guy. And David said, I have sinned. And then Nathan said, and the Lord has taken your sin away. It is when he, while he hid it, there was depression, weight, heaviness. The moment he came out and said, Lord, I just want to please you. You and you only do I want to please. All of a sudden, his heart was restored. And you can read Psalm 51 to see the difference of what had happened to him after he confessed. But listen to this. I want to close with these words. Nehemiah 8. Then he said to them, they were mourning over themselves. And he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send the portions of those whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. He rejoices over us. He has great plans for us. He loves us. And we have the ability either to grieve him or to please him. And when we say, Lord, I just want to bring joy to your heart, that will be the strength of your life. Unbelief can kind of mess us up. Can you put the letter up? I just did a funeral in England. And I thought this was amazing. The future is uncertain for all of you. He worked in an airline company here in Mallorca in England, and eventually British Airways bought it. But they were in the process here of actually selling it to another airline company. And the guy had just had a massive heart attack, and he was resigning. And he says, the future is uncertain for all of you, and you have tough times ahead. As Anne and I have found, you need not face them alone. I've mentioned before how over the past difficult months, we have experienced a very real sense of the presence and peace of God. We look forward with confidence that having brought us through this year, he plans for our future. Words from Isaiah 43, 18 and 19 have recently become a source of confidence as we look ahead, and I share them with you. The Lord says, do not cling to events of the past or dwell on what happened long ago. Watch for the new thing I'm going to do. It is happening already. You can see it now. I will make a road through the wilderness and give you streams of water there. Isn't that amazing? The confidence in him. He ended up living till 88. Just did his funeral, and I was talking to him on the phone, and he could barely talk. And I said to him, "Hey, though the outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day." And he says, "It is." Maybe you guys want to grab a hold of the fact that God is doing a new thing in your life. Starting today, it is happening already in your heart that you will learn how to not grieve the Spirit of God but rather live a life that says, Lord, you've been so good to me. You are so near to me. You have accomplished so much for me that all I want to do is be the best home that a home could be and bring joy to your heart by my trust, by my actions, by my words, by my thoughts, by my acknowledging that you are with me until the end of the age. Oh, what a privileged people we are. Grab a hold of a new beginning. Leave spirits behind. Leave forces behind. Cling to the Holy Spirit of God alone. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful, Lord, for you. I pray, Lord, that you would be ruler of our mind, ruler of our hearts, ruler of our actions, ruler of our marriages, of our parenting, of our church life, ruler of our jobs, ruler of our driving. Oh, Father, help us to grow, Lord. Help us to grow and to have one aim, to enjoy your love, to enjoy your forgiveness, and to bring joy to your heart, knowing all the incredible plans that you have for us. And Lord, we have different people here. I pray that all of us would learn to walk with you in the stage of life we are in. We don't want to push people beyond what you're doing, but we don't want to keep people behind for what you are doing in them. Lord, help us, Lord, to walk in step with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need to pray with somebody today, we'll have people here praying for you and with you. But if you need to pray with someone that you know well next to you, please, we're seeking the living God together. Just go to him as a child would go to his father and say, Lord, help me. Help me. The verse right now in my life at the moment is, blessed is the man who has the God of Jacob as his help. There are times in our life where no man can help, only God. But you know what? He wants to help.